Well, under that kind of fire, aid workers continue to warn that the humanitarian situation in northern Syria is dire and growing more serious. In fact, most have had to suspend operations there because it's too dangerous. Giselle Hall was an aid worker in the region late last year, and she returned there recently to film a documentary. She was in the northern town of Ras Al Ain when the US troop withdrawal unexpectedly began, throwing the region into chaos a week ago. She's now in Erbil in northern Iraq. I asked her to describe what happened in Ras Al Ain at that fateful moment.
So, Linda, the day that the Turkish operation began, which was last Wednesday, the 9th, I believe, we were in Ras Al Ain town, which has become one of the flashpoints of the conflict. And when we were there, about 1,000 people had gathered to peacefully protest what were at that point still just threats of Turkish military action. So there were men and women and children who were marching together towards the Turkish border, and they stopped around 200 metres away from the border wall. And on that day, there was definitely a feeling of defiance and strength in some moments, but also a real sense that people here had been abandoned by the US and by the rest of the world after having done so much for the international community. This is one of the women that we spoke to.
We have a call for all the international community or countries, human rights organizations and international NGOs to support the SDF. We have sacrificed thousands of martyrs to free these lands from ISIS, which the international forces couldn't stop, and the SDF stopped it. If the European countries will not be supporting us, we will not be able to secure 70,000 ISIS families in Al-Hol camp, which are still a threat.
So that was one of the women that we spoke to at the protest. And this man echoed the sentiment more sharply. This is Mustafa Zaim from Ras Al Ain.
We thought by fighting ISIS, we would be supported one day by the international community, but we were surprised. Betrayal is not a good word, but we have been abandoned. We have lost our trust in them because of being abandoned.
Mustafa Zaim, he's from Ras Al Ain, speaking last Wednesday to Giselle Hall at that protest before the Turkish forces came across the border. Giselle, we're not just talking about Kurds here, are we? Because there's been a lot of focus on the Kurds, but the region hosts a broad mix of people.
That's right. So this area has a significant Kurdish, Arab and Syriac population, as well as smaller communities of Armenians, Turkmen and Circassians. So for many in the Armenian community, like Fayez Ali, Turkey's genocide of the Armenians looms large, and many people fear massacres and ethnic cleansing.
As part of the Armenian community, we are here today to condemn the Turkish threat to all of Syria. We are supporting all the Syrian forces to stop this occupation, and we will be fighting with every last drop of our blood, and we will not let Erdogan in. We have this call for the international community to stop Erdogan, because Erdogan wants to massacre all the people.
That was Fayez Ali, and many Arabs in the region are also standing with the Kurdish people. This is Fatima Ahmed Abed. She's a young Arab woman from the Community Protection Unit in Arisha town.
I am Fatima Ahmed Abed from the Community Protection Unit in Al-Asa town. I salute the standoff of all these people against the fascist Erdogan, and I hope we will be winning against him, and if we are in one hand, he will be retreating. I am happy about these people that are Arab and Kurd, but we are inseparable. Our morale is high. We are sitting here at the border, so it is us or him.
Fatima Ahmed Abed, she's one of the Arab women in that protest last Wednesday. So, Giselle, where have you been subsequently and what have you seen and heard?
So we left Ras Al Ain an hour before the shelling there began, and we went to Hasaka City. And in that first 48 hours, more than 100,000 people were forced to flee their homes. And many of them eventually made their way to Hasaka City, where schools started to open as emergency accommodation for families who had nowhere else to go. So many people first tried to shelter in places closer to their homes, but as more and more areas came under attack, families had to move again and sometimes again. A whole camp had to be evacuated. And of course, these are displaced people that had already fled from places like Aleppo, Raqqa and Deir ez-Zor, and now they're having to flee again.
You've worked in many places as a senior aid worker. You're now making a documentary, of course, but we've heard of people desperately deprived as they flee this chaos. That's obviously what you're seeing. What is the overall humanitarian situation, and is there any humanitarian aid available on the ground or any groups still in position?
The humanitarian situation is extremely concerning. Around 160,000 people have been displaced, and there are reports of many more people still on the move. In Hasaka, shelling in a different area has affected the water supply, and people have been without water there despite repeated attempts to fix it. So some support is being provided to displaced families, but it's just not sufficient to meet the needs, which are growing every day. And many humanitarian agencies have had to make the heart-wrenching decision to at least temporarily suspend their activities because it's just no longer viable for them to continue with the current security situation. A particular concern is people in camps across the areas.
And a lot of people who've been advocating for Australia, for example, and other countries to remove their foreign nationals from these camps have been saying the window is closing very fast. Do you think there's still an opportunity if governments were of a mind to get these people out?
Well, look, I mean, obviously it is not an easy task, but I really feel that getting these kids out is more urgent than ever. So, I mean, our whole remains under Kurdish control. The border remains open. Humanitarian actors are still moving people from camps as recently as today. So I believe there's a possibility. I mean, I'm not hearing from the Australian government and other governments that they are doing everything they can to find a solution, that they have reached out to multiple actors, expressed their desire to get these children home. That's not what we're hearing. We're still hearing equivocations. And there's just no time for that. So we have to act now to get these children and their families out before it's too late.
Giselle Hall, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks so much, Linda.
Giselle Hall, she's an aid worker and a documentary maker recently in northern Syria, speaking to me from Erbil.